Thank you for joining us on the Bible Baptist Hour, Sunday mornings. We come on here at the same time. Been doing it for years. We hope we've been a help to you. As a matter of fact, we know we've helped some. We see a note from them once in a while. The third part, the final part of the message entitled Wasted. I hope it's been helpful to you somewhere along the way. We will be reading from Deuteronomy 17:1 today, if you want to follow along with that. Song, give of your best to your master. Give of the strength of your youth is how the song goes. So we hope that you will think about that as you hear the message today. Think about what could you give God of that's your best. He needs the best of your life. 9:45 for Sunday school. 11 o'clock the morning service. 7 o'clock the evening service on Sunday. Youth time for the teens. 10 o'clock Sunday morning. Younger groups, 7 o'clock Thursday on our midweek service. Our address will be given to you at the end of our program. We hope you'll take the time to copy it down and drop us a note and let us know. You're welcome to come and visit with us anytime. We'd love to meet you. And that would be a privilege, I think, for us to meet you. Okay. So thank you for listening today, and may it be a blessing to you as we conclude this message entitled Wasted.
Give of the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's wholehearted fervor into the battle. For give of your best to the Master. Jesus has set the example. Dauntless was he, young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. Give of your best to the Master. Give him first place in your heart. Give him first place in your service. Consecrate every part.
Give of your best to the Master.
Given to you shall be given. God his beloved Son gave. Gratefully seeking to serve him. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. Give of your best to the Master. Join in the battle for truth.
Deuteronomy 17. Look at verse 1. Thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish, or any, look at that word, evil favoredness. Isn't that an interesting word? Wow. For that is an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Think of that. Look at that verse again. You know what that Lord said? Your seconds are an abomination to me. See, any sheep man, any farm man, he don't mind selling a bad cow. My brother-in-law don't mind selling a bad cow. But if somebody comes along and says, well, I want that good cow right there for the same price, he's going, oh, no. No, no, she gives 2 gallons a day. I got to keep that one. Yeah, but you don't know what kind of a good cause it's going to. And you see, we don't mind giving God the wore-out stuff. God says, I don't want anything that's blemished. I don't want anything that's bad. If you give it to me, that's an abomination. Now, that's pretty strong language. If you don't believe me, look up the word abomination. Don't waste away your life for yourself. Young people, listen to me. Don't waste away your life for yourself and then try to give it back to God when you're 45. Amen. I don't mean you can't, but I'm telling you something right now. I think God will do more with a dedicated young person who will put themselves to the task of serving God and let the world go its way than he will somebody who spent 40 years of their life for themselves and then suddenly want to get back right with God. Now, don't misunderstand me. Some of you didn't get saved until you was older. Some of you didn't get saved until you waste away your life. And I'm not saying a saved person can't come back to God and do it, but I want to tell you something. When that young man came back from his wasted life, he didn't have his inheritance anymore. He didn't have his inheritance anymore. And Daddy didn't give him any more inheritance. Yes, he put a clean robe on him. Yes, he put a ring on his finger. And yes, he put bells on his toes. Yes, he put shoes on his feet. Yes, he killed the fatted calf. Yes, they had a great feast. Yes, he was excited. But he did not give him what he had already wasted. And if you think that you're going to do your thing and live your life and get to heaven and God's going to reward you, sorry. Luke 16. Wasted. There's that song, and I don't know if I can sing all of it. Wasted years, oh how foolish. I don't remember how the rest of it goes, but anyways, the idea is simply this. You won't realize how foolish it is till you've wasted it and it's gone. I cannot tell you how much valuable life I threw away. I threw a pile of it away. Doing my thing, having what I wanted. Because you know what? Right now, you know what you think? Right now, you think you got a lot of time. But you're going to find out down the road you didn't have as much time as you thought you had. It goes by pretty fast, don't it? Some of you can't believe, and I have a hard time believing it. It's the year 2011 already? I thought we just started 2010. But you see what happens is life gets involved, and you get to doing things, and you get carried away, and next thing you know, you're 30. And then you're 60. And then you're 90. And then you're dead. If you live that long. Some of you are just glad, you know, I'm thanking the Lord I made it to 63. You know, about 45 days, maybe I'll make it to 64. And if I do, here I come, Social Security. But anyways, okay. Luke 16, verse 1. And he said unto his disciples, was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he wasted his goods. Slacking one's responsibility will bring waste. This steward was at fault for wasting the substance of his master. I'll say that again. The steward was at fault for wasting the possessions, the substance of his master. That which he wasted did not belong to him. That which he wasted belonged to God, if you will, please. Belonged to his master. You understand that? He wasn't fired because he wasted his. He was fired because he wasted his boss's stuff. Is that coming through anywhere along the way here? Think of it. What if God were just to pop down here right there and just stand in this stage, this platform, this as... If you look up the word pulpit in the dictionary, by the way, it refers to what you stand on, not what I'm preaching on. I thought that was interesting. Yes, I looked it up because it says he was at a pulpit of wood there in Ezra, and I looked it up to see what it is. It's what you stand on. We change words around. But anyways, if God were just to poof, just show up today and say he called your name out, wanted to talk to you about the life you've wasted. How many of you? I mean, really, if God just popped in, how many of you would suddenly get sick? Well, he's not going to pop up so much, but one of these days you're going to pop up. Wasted. And really, it's not so much that you're wasting your life, although you are. It's so much that you're wasting what he's given you stewardship of. You know, he gave you stewardship of your mind. It may not be much, but he gave you stewardship of your mind. Say, what do you mean? What you put into it. You know what? Everybody in this room, you have a choice what you're going to put in your head today. And some of you will just choose to put something in there that shouldn't be in there. You know what? Look down here in, verse 4. I'm resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their house. He didn't know what to do. But he wanted to do something so that he'd have some place to go. Wouldn't that be a terrible thing if you suddenly found out that you didn't know what to do with yourself? Look at 1 Corinthians. I know you know this, but just look at 1 Corinthians, and I'm not going to stay there long. Just I want you to look at it. 1 Corinthians, chapter 4. I just want you to see something. Verse 1, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. Now, you understand the mysteries of God here, and we're not getting anything doctrinal issues here, but these are things that are things in the Bible that, well, they just aren't real clear. But God made you a steward over those things. See, even that, preacher, he means for you to read them and study them and learn them. And the trouble of it is that if I asked you to point me, some of you, I said, point me out one mystery in the Bible. Some of you couldn't do that. You couldn't show me one place in the Bible where there's a mystery. Oh, you can look up. It's not prayer time. I'm not hollering at you. I'm trying to make you understand something. You know what God's interested in? He's not interested in that you know all the stuff as much as you're faithful at trying to get it done. I'll raise my hand here. This is an obvious, but please bear with me. I am a parent. I was at one time the parent of several children at home, not all seven at one time, but over the years, 5 to 6 at home. I was the parent. Okay? I would like to keep my hand up and tell you this, that I did everything right as a parent. But I have some children here this morning, and I can't lie in front of them. I would like to say that I did everything right as a parent, but I didn't. But I tried. I tried to do it the way I thought God would have me to do it. And God isn't half as interested in the fact that I'm a parent as much as he is that I was faithful in trying to do what a parent ought to do. I is a pastor. Amen. I is a pastor. I haven't been a very good pastor, but I am a pastor. I have tried to be faithful at it. I haven't always done exactly the way I should have done it. And I haven't always made some good decisions, and I haven't always preached the right message, and I haven't always wanted to preach the message, and I haven't always prayed, and I haven't always read my Bible. There's a lot of things I haven't done, but I've tried to be faithful at being a pastor. God's not so much interested in my perfect record as he is my faithfulness to do what he asked me to do. And that's what it's all about. You're a steward. You're a steward of your family. You're a steward of your hands. You're a steward of your feet. You're a steward of your wife. You're a steward of the things that God's given you. And God expects you to be faithful at those things. Amen. Nobody in this room is perfect. I know some of you think you are, but you're not. You haven't been a perfect wife. Hasn't been a perfect wife. I know that'll shock some of you, but she hasn't been a perfect wife. Burned a couple of meals. She hasn't been a perfect wife. I haven't been a perfect perfect children. There was a couple of them. I don't even know if they was even close to being perfect. My grandchildren, they're perfect. We have one thing in common. We both have trouble with the same people. Friend, I just want you to understand something. Slacking one's responsibility brings waste. Everybody in this room, husbands, wives, children, moms, dads, doesn't matter. You can look back and see some times you wasted some efforts you made, and you even knew at the time you was doing it probably wasn't the right thing to do, but you wasted it. You didn't do what you're supposed to do because you thought you knew a slippier way to get around it. 1 Peter. This is a good one. Oh, I thought they've all been good, but it's a good one. 1 Peter, look chapter 4. Look at verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Say, so what are you saying, preacher? I don't know what the gift is. Do you realize in this room there are people that are gifted with something that nobody else is gifted with? We have a couple folks in our auditorium this morning that are good at drawing pictures and painting pictures and stuff. Artist. Okay. I'm not even good at painting a wall, but some people are good at painting a picture. We have some people here that are talented with some musical instruments. We have some people here who have absolutely no talent. Bob? Yeah. I mean, some people, Miss Courtney is an example. I mean, there's maybe some others, I don't know, but I see her do it quite frequently. They can pick up an instrument, learn two or three things about it, next thing they go, they're playing it. I pick up an instrument, it breaks. Some people have gifts. You know what he said? Listen, he said, take that gift and use it to be a blessing, to show the manifold grace of God. And that's not hard, is it? And yet you got people today with talents that go, I can't do that. You say to them, well, how about playing your instrument? Well, I don't want to play my instrument. Well, what do you got it for? So you can look at it in the living room? God gave you a talent, use it. Be a blessing. Show the manifold grace of God to others. That's what he gave you the talent for. If you can fix things, don't grumble about fixing them. Fix them. Amen. It don't matter if the preacher did break it. Fix it anyways, Dan. Amen. You got that, Tony? When I push the wrong button, just fix it. Don't go around grumbling about the preacher. He don't anyways. I'm just joking. Does he? Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Last but not least, we've talked about it a little bit. Turn to Luke 15. Verse 13. And you know the story. We're not going to read all this. The younger son took a journey and you went to a far country. You know he wasted his substance, right? Okay. I want you to do this. Seeking to please oneself is a waste. Seeking to please oneself is a waste. You can make yourself happy to do what you want for yourself and be yourself and have what you want for yourself, but you won't please God, and in the long run, you won't end up pleasing yourself either. I heard a man say, I believe it was Paul Chappell, I'm not sure who it was on the radio the day. He said, it might not have been, I know who it was. It was J. Allen Blair. He said, the joy of presents is not the wrapping them. The joy of the present is watching them being unwrapped. No parent gets joy out of wrapping them, but they get joy out of watching that child open that present and go, oh, what I didn't want. Riotous. Let me explain riotous. It's unrestrained, disorderly living. It's to live loose and wild. You might not think you're there, but have you ever wasted money on something that you didn't really need? Have you ever gone somewhere? Now, please don't misunderstand me. I believe in a vacation. We try to take one every year and we try to do something. But you know, there are people, now listen to me, there are people who go to Disney World, and they'll go to some of the places and they'll spend $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 for 1 week. And then bellyache that they have to tithe. That's called wasted. Why? You're not going to get anything out of that trip. Now, the kids may have enjoyed it, but they'll forget about it in a week. And there will be nothing lasting that whatsoever. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Let me read you two verses and let you go home. My voice is about to give out here anyways. I picked this coal up. Like I said, nobody gave it to me. I saw it laying along the road and I picked it up. I said, that poor coal doesn't need to be alone. It should be with somebody. And who better but me? So I picked it up and I've got it in it. And I'm not going to give it away, so don't anybody come around asking for it after church is over. Okay, so I'm not giving it away. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is... Oh, I don't like this verse. You like this? I don't hate this verse. This is no good. I'm going to take this verse out of the Bible. I'm going to find some way to get this verse out of the Bible. This is a rotten verse. God is playing... This is unfair. We call it fighting. Blow the belt. This is wrong. That I don't own my body. That I don't have a right to do what I want. That is wrong. Who is God to tell me what to do with my body? It's my body. I'll do what I want with it. It's your money. Jay Wentworth will give it to you. I've never seen such a selfish commercial all my life. It's my money. How about this is your fist and my, you know, anyway. I don't believe I need to explain the verse. I think it's pretty clear, don't you? That you don't have a right to yourself. Well, I have a right. You do not have a right to. If you're saved this morning, you're born again, you do not have a right. You know what you'll be doing? You'll be wasting by pleasing yourself. Come on, folks. Everybody in this room who's ever had a life of, if I can put it this way, debauchery, and you won't like use of that word, but I mean, you know, you smoked and drank and did your drugs and all that kind. If you ever there, you know right now that there's nothing lasting to any of that but the damage that comes to your body from it. You can't, You can't someday get up and say, boy, I'll tell you, my complexion, I spent 40 years drinking booze and my complexion is great. You spend 40 years drinking booze and you probably got a red nose. Okay? Well, there's always a job available when Rudolph dies. 2 Corinthians, or 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 2, look at verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen to be a soldier. Right. What takes you away, listen to me, I'm done here, but what takes you away from the things of God is your entanglement in the world. You get entangled in all the things of this world. Some of you in here this morning, you're entangled and you've got to do this and you're part of the Rotary Club and you've got to go to here and you've got to be there and you've got to do this and you've got to do that. And you're entangled into this world. And what it's doing? It's robbing you of the blessing of God.
Yes.
Listen to this. I'm done. On his deathbed, the noted French classic scholar said, I have lost a world of time. Had I 1 year more, it would be spent in perusing David's Psalms and Paul's epistles. Listen to this. Mind the world less and God more. You know what you need to be paying attention to this morning?
Amen.
This book right here. If you get in this book, you won't need me to tell you what's right and what's wrong to do. You get in this book, it'll be clear. You won't need to know what your responsibility is. If you get in this book, God will make it clear to you what your responsibility is. You see, you know what a preacher really is? A preacher is just supposed to be a reminder. My job should be just to remind you that is what God said. That is what the book says. This is the wrong thing to do. You should already know. But you know, we're living in this age where there's Christians who go, well, where did he get that from?
Yeah.
I've had people say, I read the Bible and I didn't see that in there. Well, sweetheart, you're going to have to read it more than once. I read it. I'm over 50 times now and I'm still finding things. I didn't see it the first time I was through it, and the second time I was through it, and the 49th time I was through it. So if you think that you read through it once, you know everything, I hate to tell you, you don't. And there's probably a whole lot you need to know. Maybe some of it you're afraid to know because it'll make you have to change the way you live. Maybe it might even make you come to the realization you've never been born again. You know, the greatest thing that you can ever learn from this Bible is that you have a Savior who died for you. And all he wants to do is forgive you of your sins and give you a home in heaven. Man, that ain't nothing to be afraid of. That ought to be something you're looking forward to.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to the Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.